Morning. I would like to turn this morning to the little book of Ruth in the Old Testament, and we'll read chapter 1 and verse 16. Chapter 1 of the little book of Ruth and verse 16. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." Now the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word. The little book of Ruth is set in the canon of Holy Scripture, not only to supply the lack in the genealogy of David, but also to give us another picture of God's wonderful redemption. Now the story centers in the little town of Bethlehem of Judea, the very place where our Savior was born. And there was a family in that little town, and I might say the word Bethlehem means the house of bread. And yet there was a famine in the house of bread. Now, this family, the father's name was Elimelech. That means my Lord is King. And then his wife's name was Naomi, and that means pleasure. And they had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And there they dwelt in the house of bread. It's wonderful when Christ is crowned King in our individual lives, when the joy of the Lord is true, and where we are serving Him and enjoying Him in the house of bread. And I want to compare little Bethlehem to every little assembly of God's people. But there was a famine, and the result of the famine was that they were all tested. And so Elimelech, Naomi, and the two sons left for the land of Moab. Now they didn't go to Egypt. That's the world with all its allurements. And they didn't go to Sodom. That's the world with all its sensuality. Nor did they go to Babylon. That's the world in its religious confusion. But they went to Moab, which is the world of spiritual laziness. Moab has been at ease from her youth up. And there in the land of Moab, the first thing that was lost was the truth of the headship of Christ. Now that's the death of Elimelech. And then the next thing that was lost was the joy of sonship. Mahlon and Chilion died. And then another thing that was lost was the art of worship, for they left Judea, which means praise or worship. And there they are in the land of Moab with the headship of God or Christ lost, at least the truth of it, and the joy of sonship and the art of worship, and even the joy of of activity for God. And as we look at Naomi, we see her left in the land of Moab with two daughters-in-law and three graves in Moab. Now, God never leaves the backslider alone. And so we are told that tidings came that there was no bread in Bethlehem. And so Naomi decides to return. And thank God when she did, she was given a royal welcome. And it's always good when an assembly gives the backslider a royal welcome home again. But at the crossroads, Naomi stands with her two daughters-in-law. And this is a time in life, their lives, when decisions have to be made. Orpah made a decision for her people, her religion, and her country. And the curtain falls, and we never hear of Orpah again. But Naomi made a choice that put her among the elect of God, and her name is enshrined in the very genealogy of Christ. Now note what her path entailed, her choice. First of all, it was a choice for a person. Thy God shall be my God. And after all, we are called upon to make a choice for a person. He that hath the Son hath everlasting life, and he that hath not the Son of God shall not see life. But her choice was a choice for a people, not only a person, but for a people. Thy people shall be my people. And Ruth's choice brought her into the fellowship of the people of God. Her choice was not only for a person, not only for a people, but it was a choice for a path. Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. Then it was a choice for a program, the program of redemption. And she was going to fit in to the very program of God. Now they return, and they come to the little town of Bethlehem, and we are told that there was one that was set over the reapers, and his name is not mentioned. But let us look at that unnamed man as a beautiful picture of the Spirit of God. He introduces Ruth to Boaz, the mighty man of wealth. We read in chapter 2, then said Boaz, verse 5, unto a servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And let me say, the Spirit of God is in our world today, and he has got one great business, and that is to introduce souls to our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, when the Spirit of God introduces a soul to Christ, then Christ introduces that soul to the Father. as the one mediator between God and men. That is the only one that can take a poor sinner and introduce him to the Father. Now, there were two things that Ruth needed. She needed grace, and she needed rest. In verse 10, she gets grace. And in verse 1 of chapter 3, she's going to have rest. Now let us think of the grace that she received. Verse 10, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Grace. Now, what is grace? Grace is that feeling in the very heart of God that's drawn out not by the worth, but by the worthlessness of the object. So that grace is the very kindness of God coming down at Christ's expense. That is grace. And she says, why have I found grace in thine eyes? You see, our Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now let us think of Boaz, because he's the center of attraction in Bethlehem, and a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will note four things that mark him. We read of him in his greatness. He was a mighty man of wealth. And then we see him in his goodness. He found Ruth and bestowed his grace. Then we see him in his gentleness as well as his generosity. And wherever we see Boaz, we see greatness, and we see goodness, and we see gentleness, and we see generosity. But they were just little reflections of a greater than Boaz, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Now Boaz acts toward Ruth in a threefold way. He acts toward her as a prophet, and he acts toward her as a priest, and he acts toward her as a king. Now first, he acts toward her as a prophet. Look at verse 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maiden. He directed her path. That's what our Savior will do with everyone that comes to him. He will direct our path. He will plan our present and our future. And then he acts toward her as a priest. Look at verse 11. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel. under whose wings thou art come to trust. What comfort to this strange girl that had come into Israel. And then he acts toward her as a king, extending protection. Look at verse 9. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Yea, the light of the prophet, the comfort of the priest, and the protection of the king. And he directs that the young men would go to the fountainhead, and they would draw of that which would slake the thirst of others. You know, it's lovely when you see young men that are exercised in the assembly of his people. Just to go to the fountainhead, just to draw of the water of life, and then to slake the thirst of the people of God as they are gathered in Bethlehem. And surely this is a challenge to our young men, that they rise up and meet that challenge by a deeper study of the Word of God, a deeper exercise of soul to engage in the work of God, and a deeper concern for the welfare of God's people. Now, as we look at Boaz again, I want you to know four more things about Boaz that reflect the glory and the greatness of Christ. First of all, we see him as the mighty man of wealth. Then we see him as the tireless servant. We see him as the kinsman. And we see him as the marriageable man. Let us link those four pictures with the four Gospels. It is in Matthew that we see our Lord Jesus as the mighty man of wealth. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. But it is in Mark where we see him as the tireless servant, yea, engaging in a work that was going to purchase redemption for you and for me. But it's in Luke that we see him as the kinsman redeemer, yea, that perfect one, that sinless one, that had both the ability and the willingness to redeem. It is in John that we see him as the marriageable man, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. And what a beautiful picture we see in Boaz as he reflects the greater glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. But now, going on to chapter 4, there is going to be brought to a climax the great program of redemption. And the first thing we are told in verse 1, that Boaz goes to the gate. That's the place of judgment. That's where he was going to satisfy every demand of Jewish law. Boaz goes to the gate. And we often say, there is a green hill far away, without a city wall, where our dear Lord was crucified, who died to save us all. And he went right to the place of judgment by the determining counsel and foreknowledge of God. There was no turning back. It was a lonely path he trod from every human soul apart. Known only to himself and God were all the griefs that were upon his heart. Yet from that track he turned not back, till where I lay in want and shame, he sought me, blessed be his name. And then in verse 2, he takes 10 men that represented the demands of Jewish law. And before those 10 men, he met every demand. Let me say, it wasn't 10 men that our Lord took outside the city wall of Jerusalem. It was 10 great commandments that were set in ordinances against us, and we are told that he took them out of the way and nailed them to the cross. O our blessed Savior, meeting every demand, satisfying every demand of Jewish law, so that he might redeem us. There was another kinsman, one that was older, that had first claim. But when the awful demands were presented, he said, I cannot redeem. Who is that first man? Why, it's the old man, the man of old. No man can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him. And each of us in our own struggles and in our own works, we must stand still and we must acknowledge we are not able to redeem ourselves. It was when the older one stepped aside that Boaz stepped forward, and the redemption included not only the inheritance but Ruth as well. And thank God, our Savior has paid the price for the inheritance, but it includes the vast army of redeemed that are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Let us look at four names at the end of our chapter. And I want you to note that these four men are linked to the four women in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now mark these four names, and then we will turn to Matthew chapter 1. Note the word Pharisees in verse 18. Note the word Solomon in verse 20. Note the word Boaz in verse 21. And note the word David in verse 22. Now let us see how these four men are linked to the four women in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 1. And this is most interesting because the four women in the genealogy of Christ give to us the philosophy of God's salvation, of the great redemption that was purchased at Calvary. Look at verse verse 3, and you get buried. And then his name is linked with Tamar. And then, look at verse 5. You get the word Solomon. His name is linked with Rahab. Then look at verse 5 again. You get Boaz, and his name is linked with Ruth. And then, in verse 6, you get the name of David, and his name is linked with the wife of Uriah. Now let us think of these four women for a few moments as we look at the great salvation that was purchased at infinite cost. Now what shall we write over the name of Tamar? Just one word, and that is sinner. And here I learn that as the Spirit of God has put her into the genealogy of Christ, that he came into the world to die for sinners. That's the first note that is struck as we learn the greatness and the glories of redemption, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Oh, thank God. There is salvation for sinners today because our Savior died upon the cross. But then, as we look up the next, the word Rahab, what shall we write over her name? Just one word, and that is faith that was placed in the Word of God. She believed the word of the spy, as that was the Word of God, and she hung that scarlet thread from her window, believing that Israel would keep its word, that God's word could not be broken. And when Jericho fell, there was a house that stood because there was a woman that believed the word of God. That's salvation, dear friend, not only for sinners, but salvation by faith, not only in the Christ of God, but in the word of God. And it's the blood that makes us saved. It's the word that makes us sure. And sinners are saved through faith in our Lord Jesus and are born again by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. But now the third word is Ruth. And what shall we say of Ruth's salvation? Simply this: it is by grace alone. You know, no Moabite could ever enter the congregation of the Lord until the 10th generation. But here is one, and she comes into the congregation in the first generation. Now, what was it that overcame the barriers of the law of God, that took her out from under the curse of that law and made her one of the elect of God? It was grace alone. Simple grace. And you know, Ruth wasn't among the elect until she came into Israel. And then she discovered that when she came into Israel, she was among God's elect. And I submit that we're not among God's elect until we come into Christ. We are elected in Christ, not before we come into Christ. Election is collective. And when you and I put our faith in Christ, we come into the elect of God. And we're saved by grace alone. Grace is flowing like a river. Millions there have been supplied. Still it flows as fresh as ever from the Savior's wounded side. None may perish. All may live, for Christ has died. Now what shall we say of Bathsheba? In fact, her name is not mentioned. It's just the wife of Uriah. May I ask, how did we ever know when David had sinned against God that he was a child of God? Now we know by his very actions before that he was a child of God. And in the depth of his despair, he cried unto the Lord, "Restore unto me not thy salvation, but the joy of thy salvation." That was left. That is emphasized in Psalm 51. Therefore we behold two backsliders, but true children of God, and in their restoration we are taught the truth of eternal security. It is for sinners, by faith in Christ, by grace alone, but it's an eternal salvation. And thank God, this eternal salvation is obtained through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, we must be careful not to link this lovely doctrine unto every profession, because there are many that profess that don't possess. This belongs to the possessors of God's salvation. And if everyone that is truly saved and born of God, that soul is as sure of heaven as if he was in it. This is the story of redemption. It was all because Boaz faced those 10 men that represented Jewish law and paid the price, that embraced Ruth to be his wife. And our Savior, he faced the demand of the law of God, met every demand, and he paid the price in drops of precious blood. Thank God there's nothing for you or me to do but trust the Savior. Oh, is there a soul and you don't know our Savior? I would say this morning, stop trying and trust. And soon as you're all ye venture on the atoning blood, the Holy Spirit enters and you are born of God. Simple, but not simple for our Savior. He faced it all that you and I go free. And Ruth not only found grace, but in union with Boaz, she found rest. And thank God there's not only a present rest from a tormenting conscience, and not only a present rest from all our fears and doubts, but there remaineth a rest for the people of God. And in the home of our Savior, we will find rest forevermore. May the Lord bless his word. Now shall we pray? Our Father, wilt thou bless thy word to every one of us? We thank thee for the stories of thy love, thy grace, thy wonderful salvation. And we pray that the story of Ruth may be blessed to all this morning. We ask it in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I wonder if we can sing in closing just a verse of number.